Welcome, my friends. It's been a crazy week, hasn't it? As if we didn't have enough going on. In comes storm Isaías, which, by the way, is the Spanish and Portuguese version of the name Isaiah. As you've likely seen, in New Jersey alone, about 1.4 million households lost power. And it could be days or more before it's all restored. And this is especially challenging right now for the elderly, for those with health problems, and with all the heat. Please know that my prayers continue for you all as we navigate these many, many challenges. Now let's turn together to God as we open with a word of prayer. Let us pray. As we gather together this day, so many are experiencing a major power outage. And I don't mean just the loss of electricity. I mean the power that keeps our inner light burning, the power that keeps us pushing forward no matter what life throws at us. Many have been dealing with one crisis after another, with more unknowns ahead than most have ever experienced. And so we come to you this day, seeking your love, your strength, and your power. And we come in gratitude, Lord, thanking you for the many gifts shared, for the ways you continue to use us as your hands and feet in the world. May each be blessed, and may we continue to find new ways to be your church in this hurting, broken world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let's welcome Nathan Drake as he leads us in a reading of a psalm and in music.
I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Let's worship.
What a fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. How bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting. What have I to fear, leaning on the everlasting arms? I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, leaning. loving arms.
What a wonderful reminder that we're not alone. We have another timely reminder in this powerful story from Matthew 14. Hear God's word. As soon as the meal was finished, Jesus insisted that the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the people. With the crowd dispersed, he climbed the mountain so he could be by himself and pray. He stayed there alone late into the night. Meanwhile, the boat was far out to sea when the wind came up against them and they were battered by the waves. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water, and they were scared out of their wits. "A ghost," they said, crying out in terror. But Jesus was quick to comfort them. "Courage, it's me. Don't be afraid." Peter, suddenly bold, said, "Master, if it's really you, call me to come to you out on the water." And he said, "Come ahead." Jumping out of the boat, Peter walked on the water to Jesus. But when he looked down at the waves churning beneath his feet, he lost his nerve and started to sink. He cried, "Master, save me." Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and grabbed his hand. Then he said, "Faint heart, what got into you?" The two of them climbed into the boat, and the wind died down. The disciples in the boat, having watched the whole thing, worshiped Jesus, saying, "This is it. You are God's son for sure." May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. There's an old story about three pastors who were out fishing one day in a little old boat, and one of them suddenly realized he left his tackle box back in the cabin. So he steps out of the boat and he walks on the water over to the shore. A moment later, the second pastor realizes that he forgot his fishing hat on the front seat of his car. So he too steps out of the boat and walks on water to the shore. Well, the third pastor is watching all of this like in total amazement. And he thinks to himself, "My faith is as strong as theirs. I can do that too." So he steps out of the boat and he immediately sinks to the bottom. His two colleagues, they drag him out of the water. But once they get him back in the boat, this guy's even more determined. So he steps out again and once again starts sinking. Well, as the two pastors pull him out yet again, he sputters, "I don't get it. My faith is as strong as yours. Why can't I walk on the water?" Well, the other two look at each other, just sort of shaking their heads. And one finally says, I guess we better tell him where those rocks are before he drowns himself. Well, the story of Jesus walking on water is certainly well known. And I think we'd all like to believe that had we been in Peter's place, we would have fearlessly made it across the water without sinking. If only. But if there's one theme that pops up over and over again throughout the scriptures, it's fear. Consider this. Back in the book of Genesis, after Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, they try to hide. Of course, that doesn't go well because who can hide from God, right? And when God asks them, "Why are you hiding?" Adam answers, "Because I was afraid." Well, it's a pretty good reminder that fear is so basic to who we are as human beings, and it goes all the way back to the beginning of time. I mean, it seems that to be human is to experience fear. So I guess we shouldn't be too surprised that we see repeatedly in the scriptures, "Do not be afraid." As Ty Weir reminds us, these are usually the first words out of angels' mouths. Abraham, Moses, Mary, Joseph, shepherds tending their flocks, Paul sitting in a jail cell, the woman looking for Christ's body after Easter, and of course, the disciples rowing a boat in the storm. They all hear these words. And all, in fact, they occur almost 100 times in scriptures, because apparently we human beings are rather fearful creatures, and we're in great need of faith to function properly in this world. So I guess it's fitting timing that what just came through our own damaging storm. In fact, we're still trying to recover from it, with winds they say were up to 100 miles per hour. Sadly, there are still many without power right now, and maybe days before some get it back. It seems like it's taking forever. And this seems to be just one more of so many storms of every kind that are coming at us this year from every direction. And I was just reading just moments ago that more hurricanes, more storms, this is just the beginning. Well, and so many were already struggling before the pandemic ever hit. And usually we have the comfort of knowing to some degree, you know, what lies ahead. A storm hits, but it can't last forever, right? We continually face these temporary interruptions, experiences we might never choose, but with some sense of what's on the other side, and that we'll make it through it. But suddenly, we're in new territory with so many unknowns, and perhaps in a position to understand better than ever the anxiety and the fear that those disciples felt during that storm. There they are, out on the Sea of Galilee, when the winds come up suddenly from out of nowhere. It's nighttime. They're out there in pitch dark. They can hardly see a thing. And not only that, but with the cloudy skies, they can't see the stars, which would normally give them some sense of where they were and some sense of direction. And of course, no GPS devices then, my friends. And the wind of the storm is not even with them, but against them. So the sails are useless. And on top of that, they're rowing against the wind, right into the face of the storm. So they're not getting anywhere. They're being beaten by the waves, being tossed to and fro, making no progress. And they're tired. They're frustrated, exhausted, terrified, confused. And what makes it worse? Guess who sent them into that storm? It was Jesus. And they're just doing what they were told by the master. And now, where is he? Where is he now when they need him the most? Can you identify? I know I can. I suspect, in fact, that many of us are asking right now, even as the disciples did, where is the master now? Where is he now when we need him so desperately? We're tired. We're worn, defeated. We're in danger of being overwhelmed and drowned in the deep. Where is he? What's going on? Has he forgotten us? Well, Jesus sees their dilemma, and he goes right to them. He's actually been near them the whole time, closer than they ever knew. And he comes to them in the storm to help them and to save them. As William Barclay describes in his commentary on Mark, see what happened. Immediately when Jesus saw his friends in trouble, his own problems were set aside. The moment for prayer was past. The time for action had come. He forgot himself and went to help his friends. That's the very essence of our Lord, he writes. The cry of human need surpassed all other claims. His friends needed him. He must go. The story is cloaked in mystery, which defies explanation. All of what happened there, we will never know. But what we do know is that he came to them, and their storm became calm. With him beside them, nothing mattered anymore. It's a simple fact of life, a fact which has been proven by countless thousands of men and women in every generation, that when Christ is there, the storm becomes calm. The tumult becomes peace. What cannot be done is done. The unbearable becomes bearable. And people pass the breaking point and do not break. To walk with Christ will be for us also the conquest of the storm. Well, one thing we know for sure, my friends, life is full of storms. And they can take many shapes, many forms, and at times they can seem overwhelming. We can feel like we're carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders with no relief in sight. But it is in the midst of these impossible storms that Christ can enter our lives in new and very special ways, ways that we can't even imagine. It's in these times of helplessness that God can come into our lives and bring us strength and help and hope. And we also need to remember that one of the big ways that we grow in our trust of God is when that trust is put to the test. It's when God can and will bring us through the storms of life that we experience it firsthand. It's in these times of great difficulty, when our eyes see Christ, that we can do seemingly impossible things, incredible things that we could never do otherwise. Now, we have to keep our eyes on him, or we too will sink. But you know what? He will still be there for us, reaching his arm out to catch us and help us in our weakness. I know that I am frequently reminded of a story of how one night a house caught on fire, and the little boy was forced to flee to the roof of the home. His father stood on the ground below him with outstretched arms, calling to his son, "Jump! Jump! I'll catch you!" He knew the boy had to jump to save his life. But all the boy could see was the flame, the smoke, the blackness. And as you can imagine, he was afraid to leave that roof. He was afraid to just jump out into the unknown. But his father kept yelling, "Jump, I'll catch you." The boy said, "But Daddy, I can't see you." And the father answered, "But I see you, and that's all that matters." You know, my friends, we too are going to continue to find ourselves in situations. Situations that are just beyond our understanding, beyond our capability to control. Situations that make us fearful, that make us just scared. And in those times, it may be hard for us to see God, but he always sees us. He always sees us, and he will not abandon us. You and I have the assurance that he'll never leave our side, that in his time, he will calm the storms, and he will see us through it. May you hear that loving voice of God, even when you can't see him, calling out to you in your storm. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. My friends, let us pray. Our dearest Lord, we confess that as we are hit by storm after storm after storm of every kind, seemingly endless assaults on our sense of well-being, we can feel great fear and apprehension about the future. And we know that fear does not bring out the best in us. We confess that too often we become distracted by our circumstances and we lose sight of you and we trust ourselves instead of you. We can become so focused on our own needs, our own wants, our own best interests that we neglect our hurting brothers and sisters, not realizing that as we do, we only sink deeper. And we miss your hand reaching out to us. Forgive us, Lord, and keep us faithful to you, even as you are so faithful to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My friends, know that even as Jesus was there for his disciples in their storm, so he never leaves our side. May you know that we will fail and we will fall short, but in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now let's welcome Jill Duffield as we continue in prayer.
Let's join together in the prayers of the people for this 10th Sunday after Pentecost. Let us pray. Lord God, as we navigate strong headwinds and seek to see you through our fatigue and our fears, we confess that you are truly the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one who stills the storm, and immediately reaches out your hand to keep us from drowning. We rest for a moment in the joy of your presence, no longer afraid, free from anxiety, assured that you do not leave us alone, but seek us out when we are most in need of your peace. We know, Lord of all, that none of our thoughts and hopes, our doubts or our worries are off limits to your care and compassion. We know you, our teacher and our friend, you welcome us as we are and hear whatever is on our hearts and minds. We ask you to hear our prayers for those in our midst most battered by the storms of our time. Grab the hands of those about to go under the waves of poverty or financial crisis. We ask for your intervention on behalf of families unable to provide basic needs for their children, our siblings wrestling with food insecurity, those on the cusp of eviction, and the unemployed facing the end of benefits. As we see those about to be swamped by the waves of this pandemic, move us to act in ways that lift others out of the roiling sea. Reach out and give courage and strength to people in leadership positions. Grant them wisdom to make decisions in the best interests of the most vulnerable. Inspire communities to use their power and resources, their will and gifts to support the people on the margins, those for whom this difficult season has been catastrophic. We pray for teachers, administrators, parents, and students as they all seek to navigate a new school year rife with uncertainty and unprecedented challenges. We are mindful of essential workers who are facing the danger of this public health crisis every single day. Protect and sustain them, Lord. We lift up the sick and all who suffer. Give them hope. Bring relief. Surround them with your mercy. Quiet the dangerous winds of discord and division, and stir up the breath of the Holy Spirit to heal and unite us. Help us to build up the body, strengthen our witness, and reveal to the world that we follow the one who commands us to love one another. May others look at your church and see your hands and feet at work in the world, feeding and tending, forgiving and repairing, doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with our God. In this moment, Lord God, we rest in your presence, certain that you are our Savior and the Savior of the world, able to do abundantly more than we can ever hope or imagine, never far from us, always reaching out your hand to save us when we fear the wind and waves of life will overtake us. We worship and praise you as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
My friends, never forget, we are not in this alone. May you lean into God's arms and be relieved of all fear. And now may you go in God's love and God's power. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. And God bless you.